Today we're going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning at verse 32. We are going to be reading this passage twice, one at the beginning of the sermon, and then the second time during the introduction part of the sermon. We want to thank God for putting all of us, three congregations, three services, three languages together. So right now, at this time, I'm going to invite all the Chinese-speaking people, whether you speak Cantonese or whether you speak Mandarin, to read with me in Chinese the book of Acts, chapter 20. Sorry, we are experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty here with a computer. But you can find the passage printed in your bulletin. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 32, reading in Chinese.
我的大家用中文要齊讀。如今我把你們交託神和他恩惠的道，知道能建立你們，叫你們和一切成聖的人共得基業。我未曾貪圖一個人的金銀衣服，我這兩隻手 常供给我和同人的需用，这是你们自己知道的。我凡事给你们做榜样，叫你们知道应当这样劳苦，扶助软弱的人，又当纪念主耶稣的话说：施比受更为有福。一起祷告，
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that simple words coming from you has a lot of impact because you tell us that your word is our spiritual daily food. And now take your word and put it in the bottom of our heart where we would treasure it, where we would obey, and where we would also apply it. We thank you, O Lord, so that the one who speaks and those who listen, together we will be good students of the word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. It is always great to share the Word of God and to learn the Word of God together. For the month of September, we are going to be looking at the theme or the emphasis of Christian stewardship. Why are we interested in this particular topic, stewardship, in September? For a good many reasons. For instance, as a church, we want to become good stewards of what God has given to us. So for that reason, we turn to the scripture for guidance. Number two reason, very soon, as you know, sometime in November, we'll be celebrating our 75th anniversary. It is a very important occasion and milestone for our church, actually for any church. It is also a very important reminder of what God has been doing in this church and would continue to do even more. How do we remember and how do we give thanks to God for his 75 years of providing for us, leading us, shaping us, and blessing us? For that, we turn to the scripture again for guidance. Reason number three, why we need to look at stewardship. It is because from time to time, we do not have a lot of opportunities from the pulpits to study this very important biblical principle. And so we want to know that particularly with Thanksgiving around the corner, what does it mean to become thankful people to God? How do we appreciate God and how do we show that gratitude to him? Again, scripture has the answer for us. But one other very important thing why we ought to study the topic of stewardship from time to time is that the more we understand about money and the things that money can buy, the more we understand what God has blessed us with and how to use it and put that into practice, the more we find that our Christian lives will be satisfying and that we would experience God, we would see him, and our spiritual life would be at a new level that we never knew before. So you see that there are many, many different reasons, very good reasons, to understand more about what the scripture has to say about stewardship. I don't know about you, Sam just
pray with the kids. And we thank God that we have a lot of kids in our church. It is a good sign. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you probably will run over one of them. I remember about 3 Sundays ago downstairs, when I was, you know, there were so many people there having lunch, and was turning in the other direction and almost tripped. And it was a tiny little toddler about yay high standing right next to me. I have no idea when he got there. But we are thankful to God for kids. If you love to interact and play with kids, you would probably notice how some children behave when it comes to toys. A very insightful mother has written down what she calls the 10 commandments of the property laws when it comes to children. How do children behave? Here are the 10 commandments. Number 1, if I like it, it is mine. Number 2, if it is in my hand, it is mine. Number 3, if I can take it or grab it from you, it is definitely mine. Number 4, if I had it a little while ago, it is also mine. Number 5, if it is mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number 6, if I'm building something, all the pieces are mine and mine alone. Number 7, if it looks just like mine, it is also mine. Next, if I saw it first, it is mine. If you are playing with something and put it down, automatically it becomes mine. And then commandment number 10, very appropriately, if it is broken, it is yours. Isn't it so true? We know that, you know, for all of us, from a very, very young age, it is human nature to claim that which is ours and sometimes that which is not ours as well. Very often, you know, when we grow a little bit older, more mature, wiser perhaps, we find that in so many ways we are still behaving like children, selfish, self-centered children, especially when it comes to money and the things that money can buy. 2 pieces of good news for us this morning. One is that God understands our struggles with money. God really does understand our struggles with money. And the second piece of good news is that God blesses us when we let go of our hands, our control on money and material things. God blesses us when we learn to let go of the control on our money, on our possession, and on the things that we have. These are the 2 pieces of good news. God says that he understands our struggles, and God says that he wants to bless us. And the reason is that, you know, God wants to set us free. Wants to set us free from the bondage of money and material things. Think about it. You and I have to experience freedom. Our church needs to learn to be free, to use the resources God has entrusted to us. That is the only way that we can reach the world outside with people who have yet to know the Lord Jesus. Unless the church understands something about stewardship of using the things that we have, stewardship of preaching and sharing the gospel that God has given to us, stewardship about appreciating and establishing the kingdom that God has put in the middle of this church, we would not be able to reach other people for God. So this is why, you know, there are so many important reasons for us to understand what the Bible has to say regarding monies, material things, and even our lives. I just want to remind you 2 very basic and key principles from this passage. One is that it is not about money. It is never about money. It is always, always, always about God. That is principle number 1. The second principle is that it is not about what God wants from you. Sometimes we think about stewardship, we're thinking that, you know, God knows that I have this stashed away, God knows that I have that somewhere there, and God is going to take it away from me now. Sooner or later, instead of what it is mine, it all becomes God's. It is not about what God wants from us. It is about what God wants for us. Never about money, always about God. Never about what God wants from us, always about what God wants for us. Our passage today, as it was read just now in Chinese, you know, came from the last part of Paul's farewell message to the elders, to the leaders in the church of Ephesus. Paul wasn't quite sure whether he would be able to see them again, but he has this message in his heart that he wanted to get out, to share with them. So in this passage, you know, unfortunately, we were only able to look at verse, you know, one verse. But I would encourage you to go home and look at the whole message. You get a lot out of it. Paul had a lot to tell them. And then in conclusion, this is what he says, like what we just read. But now we're going to be reading this passage again, lest we forget. We're going to be reading it in English. But if you want to join us in Chinese, feel free to do so. All right, folks, let us read. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our focus today is on the last verse, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one problem with that. Where in the Gospels, whether it be Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, do you find Jesus actually speaking these words? But yet Paul was telling us that, you know, he heard it and he knew it was from Jesus. It was a quotation from Christ. But if you look in the four Gospels, you find that, you know, you would never, never find this quotation in any of the four Gospels. This is a very special and a very rare example of how the early church remember a saying, a quotation from Jesus Christ, faithfully share it, pass it around to encourage one another, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, remember to include it as part of the New Testament scriptures, even though it does not appear in any of the four Gospels. It is a great example. On the surface, this particular verse, verse 35, seems to be a little bit paradoxical, a little bit contradictory. Why? Because it definitely is not something that we teach or we are taught in our culture, in our society. The wisdom of the world is such that it tells us, when you give something away, you are actually losing it. Prepare to say goodbye to it. And when you keep something, it is going to be yours. Gaining is always winning. Gaining is always winning. Giving is always losing. And here, very clearly, Jesus in verse 35 in the recollection of Paul says that, you know, it is exactly for believers the other way around. Giving away, you are actually gaining. It is not losing at all. It is important for us to understand that Jesus here is making a comparison between two things. Certainly, we know that it is a blessing to receive from others. For instance, if you're hungry, someone gives you food, it is a blessing. You are blessed. If you are broke, someone gives you money. You are blessed. If you are out of work, you need employment, someone offers you a job, you are blessed, especially in this tough economy. If you are discouraged, you feel depressed, something is waiting or tearing your heart apart, and someone is able to come along, lift up your spirits, that definitely is another blessing. No matter what kind of examples you use, it is definitely a blessing to receive, a blessing to receive. Unfortunately, sometimes for people, believers included, it is a struggle for us in this area. We don't like to be on the receiving end from people who love us because it might make us feel obligated to them. Next time, we are obligated to do something nice to them. And so sometimes you find that people don't like to receive love and care from others. And other times it is because of our hidden pride, keeping us from receiving kindness from those who love us. You know that it takes a certain spiritual maturity. It takes a certain spiritual maturity to recognize gifts from others, gifts from God through others, and takes a certain spiritual maturity to receive them in thanksgiving to them and in thanksgiving to God. It is a blessing to receive. It is also a blessing to give, Jesus says. And between the two of them, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The emphasis, the key word here, is on the word more. It is a blessing to receive, it is a blessing to give, but it is much more of a blessing to be able to give, to be able to share. Why did Jesus say that? And how is giving more blessed than receiving? Couple of reasons from scriptures. One is that, you know, when you learn to give the way God intends us to, you will find that giving actually delivers us, liberates us from ourselves, from our old selves. Giving frees us from the bondage of being selfish. Sometimes you find that when you're on the receiving end, you know, the focus is on us. When we are receiving, the focus or the emphasis is on us. But when we give things away, when we share our love and our concern for others, it forces us to think about other people around us, including strangers. Receiving meets my own needs, but giving opens a wide door of opportunity to the needs of the whole world. You might be able to give out of a selfish motive. You may be able to give because of selfish reason. But chances are that you will not be able to continue to do that for too long. Because either your selfishness would eventually cut off your giving, or your generous giving would grow and eventually would remove your selfishness away from your heart. Giving frees us from the bond of selfishness. Giving also gives us a chance to be liberated from the bondage or the control of material things. Consider the words of 1 Timothy, and I would invite the congregation, the Chinese congregation, to read together.
我们大家一起念提摩太前书，一起读。 1, 2, 3
好像很小声，是不是？ 有没有会讲广东话？有没有讲国语的？ 我们大声一点好不好？ 大声一起。 1, 2, 3
Wow, that's Chinese for you. Sounds great, isn't it? We are thankful to God that we have such diversity. Here, Paul says very clearly that it is not about your bank accounts that gets you into trouble. Money itself is morally neutral. A dollar is a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. It is what you do with it, how you do with it, that matters. I love the story or the testimony of a pastor who, you know, when he was looking at this verse, this is what he has to say. He says that, you know, when it comes to verse 10, those few words, love of money and eager for money, he said that when I read the first part of verse 10, I say to myself, I don't love money. But then when I read the phrase, eager for money, and I stop in my tracks, it reminds me of the person who said, if money were a woman, I wouldn't say we were in love, but I would definitely say we are dating heavily. We can all understand and appreciate that. The funny thing is that, you know, in the end, money, material things never really satisfied. Yesterday morning in this very sanctuary, there was a funeral from one of the longtime Chinatown residents.
He lived to a ripe old age, and according to Chinese mathematics, you know, it is 103. For some people, it is 103. And he was a very hardworking, loving, and accomplished person. I understand that, you know, he almost single-handedly established or built 5 restaurants. Some of them are still in D.C. Chinatown. And apparently he had a lot accomplished. But I was very encouraged and very touched that, you know, during the tributes and the sharing and the testimony time, very little was said about the restaurants. There was no mention of money, of wealth, of power. All that was shared, you know, was an appreciation for his heart, his willingness to love people, help people, his love for his family and friends alike. Money never really satisfies. I have ministered to a lot of dying persons, and I do not ever recall a single or any single one of them saying, you know, just as a moment of death, that I thank God for all the money I have made in this world. None of them ever say that, and none of them would ever want to say that. The one thing that is on the mind of dying people is just love, relationship, care, grace, God. It tells us that money is not the solution to everything. So the sooner we break the bondage on the money, the better it is for us. Giving liberates us from ourselves, from our selfishness, and also from the control of things material. Number 2, giving also builds unity. Giving unites us with our brothers and sisters in the church. When I give and keep giving, there's only so much I can do. Sooner or later, I would have nothing more to give. But when I give, and when you give, and when others give, sooner or later we find that, you know, throughout the whole church and outside the church, God accumulates enough resources for us to use for his kingdom work. This is why, you know, we say that, you know, another good thing about money building or giving, building unity, is that, you know, when I give, or when I see you give, or when we see other people give, it has a way of inspiring us or encouraging us to also give and contribute. It is not always about money. It can be giving of our lives, giving of our love, giving of our care, giving of our time. God says that he expects his people to give. I remember that one time after preaching a sermon on the topic of giving, one of the brothers came up and shared with me that, you know, when God blesses him because he gave in obedience to Christ, he found always that God's blessing is always more, different, and better. When he obeyed God and when he puts principles of Christian giving into practice, he finds that, you know, the blessing that God has for him are always more, different, and better. He also went on to say that, you know, when he clung, when he grabbed on to what he had, his hands are so full that God cannot give him anything else. But the moment he lets go of his hands, he is free to catch the other blessings from God. What does it tell us? Very often, and this is also a principle in the scripture, very often God does things for us that he doesn't do when we don't give. Very often, God does things for us that he doesn't do when we don't give. And that is a very good thing for us to ponder. Giving builds or promotes unity. It brings the church closer together. It causes us to say that we have one God, and here before him, we lay all our resources. And when you give, you are an encouragement and inspiration to other people. They don't have to know how much you give. They don't have to know how much we give. But as long as we give out of obedience, out of love, you'll be amazed at how God is going to build up his church. Finally, giving makes us more like Christ, more like Jesus Christ. Giving brings us closer and nearer to God. This is one more reason why it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our giving draws us closer to God. How so? By making us imitators of God who gives. Do you know that when we give, we are actually carbon copies of Jesus Christ? Nothing is more natural to God than to give. A couple of verses comes to mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. We are familiar with that in John chapter 3. Jesus also said on another occasion, freely receive, freely give. Matthew chapter 10. And then on another occasion, he challenged believers to do this. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. Luke chapter 6. And finally, we know that Jesus meant what he said because he gave the ultimate gift. On the cross, he offered his life. And it is because he did so that we receive life eternal as a precious gift from God. So it is not surprising with all this teaching and emphasis from Jesus that, you know, along with this verse 20, this verse in Acts chapter 20, some Bible teachers have described this verse as the ninth beatitude, alongside with the eighth in Matthew chapter 5, that it is the ninth beatitude. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But be very careful. You may be able to share a lot. You may be very generous. But unless you have the Spirit of Jesus in your heart, it doesn't matter how much you give or what you give away. It will not mean much in eternity. There is a huge, huge difference between giving with a Christian heart and giving without a Christian heart. One has spiritual significance. The other one is just good work and good work only. Somewhere, I read a story of Maxie Jarman, longtime president of the Ganasco Shoe Company, a very successful company at one time. And Mr. Jarman was a very dedicated believer. He gave a lot of money away to Christian charities and to good works. He also served very closely with the Billy Graham Ministries. And he was known for his giving throughout the world. But unfortunately, at one point in his very successful career, he suffered a series of financial misfortunes and reversals. And it cost him almost everything he had. He almost went bankrupt. And as he tried to gather enough energy, resolve, and money to rebuild his business, coming back again, at that point in time, a friend asked him whether he ever regretted all the monies that he had given away to Christian work, to charities, all those years. Do you know what his answer was? He said, "Oh no, I only lost what I kept for myself. I only lost what I kept for myself." Because he knew that all those love offerings, all those generous gifts that he shared with other people, whether people knew it or not, he knew that God has already taken care of them. He would never lose them. They are in a very good investment banking corporation, God's. Two questions for us to ponder. Number one, can God trust me with money? Can God trust us with money? Luke chapter 16, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Question number one, can God trust you? Can God trust me? Can God trust our church with money, with material things? Sometimes we like to play the if game. If I have more, I'll give more. If I'm able, I'll give more. If I have the opportunity, I'll give more. If I see the need, I'll give more. Problem is that sometimes God is not concerned about what we do not have. God is concerned with what we have and our heart's giving condition. Can God trust us with money? Do you know, and someone has said it, there is truth in it, Do you know that there may be some Christians, there may be some Christians that God simply cannot trust with more money? There may be some Christian that God simply cannot trust with more money or more material blessings, because God knows that they are going to waste it on trivial things, things that do not have a lot of eternal worth. Question number two, do I trust God more than money? Does God trust me with money? Can God trust me with money? Question number two, do I trust God more than money? I love the words of the psalmist in chapter 34. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Here is an invitation, a bold encouragement for anyone who has any needs to come and experience God first. Come to God, tell him what you need, explain to him your situation, and you find that God has many different ways of satisfying your heart. But unless you move yourself towards God, unless you take the initiative, you can sit there, much as God wants to bless you, you won't be able to experience any of his blessing. But the moment you come seeking God, you would also agree with the psalmist, we have come to the Lord. We have tasted, and we can tell you that definitely, always, God is good. Ultimately, the Christian life is about faith. Faith in following a living God who asks us to trust him, to obey him. And because this living God, this Savior God, is also a God who is excellent in giving, who delights in giving, naturally, the longer you and I know this God, the longer you and I put our faith and our lives in him, the longer we are believers, naturally, logically, we should also be better at giving. Giving of our time, giving of our hearts, giving of our life, giving of our love, giving of what we have, even though it may not seem much, to those around us, to those who have needs. After all, that is the best form of advertising. The best form of advertising, when they see Christians with giving hearts, giving of the gospel and of the salvation news of Jesus Christ, that is the way to reach others. That is the way to build up the church, and that is also the way to cause you to grow in intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. May our church and may all of us be good stewards. We learn one thing at a time, one little step at a time, but let us all learn in so many different ways. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, and we ask, O Lord, that you would continue to drive home this so-called ninth beatitude, that it is much more blessed to give than to receive. We thank you, O Lord, that you know all our needs and that we are always on the receiving end from you. We thank you, Father God, that you would never allow our needs to go unnoticed. Father, we thank you that more than that, you want to cause our hearts to experience tremendous joy. Joys that come from imitating you. Be also a person who gives, and especially to give of the love that we have received from Jesus. We pray that you would change us, and we pray, Father God, you would take care of our worry, our unwillingness. Make us more and more like you. Make us givers who reminds others of Jesus. Teach us to follow you, to trust you, and bring us to the place where we would be carbon copies of the Lord Jesus who lives in us. All this we give you thanks in advance, because we know that you heard our prayers and you answer them. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen.